Conclusion. The power of narratives has been recognized for millennia. Yet in our modern world, it is only now that we are beginning an in-depth exploration into how narratives impact individual decision-making and ultimately our actions. Because in part, the study of politics, such as the dynamics of resistance movements, is a study of the interaction of beliefs, decisions, and action, the use of narratives as a starting point for analysis is crucial. One of the first challenges is confronting the level of ambiguity in the concept of narratives. The term is broadly used in different contexts for different purposes. Here we have broken down narratives into three interrelated concepts. First, narrative is used to describe processes in human cognition. In short, people often think in story form. Without this narrative structure filling in missing or opaque information, our ability to interpret and attribute meaning in our lives would be hindered. This is especially important when filling in information gaps related to the invisible inner mental landscapes of people and groups, such as motivations and intentions. Second, narrative is also used to describe the artifacts of our cognitive processes. Because we think in stories, we produce many of them. Some are as simple as the story surrounding our morning commute. Others emerge in richer cultural forms, such as myths, epics, visual art, and dance. Lastly, narrative is also used to describe individuals' and groups' strategic, rhetorical use of this accumulated cultural material to influence and persuade audiences. Resistance movements use this form of strategic communication to overcome the manifold problems of mobilizing people to collective action. In this work, we have talked about how all three of these related ways of thinking about narratives are important for Special Operations Forces practitioners to consider. It is clear that not all narrative artifacts are equal, although most do share some common elements. In terms of its emotive power, a story recounting our morning commute, for instance, cannot usually compete with the story of a master storyteller like Leo Tolstoy. To more carefully analyze strategic communication, a good definition of narrative is necessary to separate the variety of narratives most commonly used for strategic purposes. For the purposes of this work, we identified a narrative as a coherent set of interrelated stories that inspires its audience to resolve a conflict through the use of various literary or rhetorical forms. Scholars also distinguish between Level 1 and Level 2 narratives to account for the significant differences in quality, with Level 1 narratives recounting simple events and Level 2 narratives depicting deep complexity. Narratives that are used for the purpose of strategic communication are generally of the more complex, Level 2 variety. Others have identified master narratives, or deeply ingrained stories. Master narratives describe a series of interconnected stories that serve as the blueprint for most of a society's other stories. These narratives influence the beliefs, values, and norms in a society. Most often, such artifacts are constructed and reinterpreted within a society over generations, and not necessarily for some specific strategic purpose. Master and other narratives are not static. The ability to reassess and reinterpret these powerful narratives gives resistance movements the opportunity to shape them for their particular purposes. When skillfully manipulated, master narratives can be used persuasively. There are many bodies of research that touch on narratives and their use in strategic communication. Research in communication, political science, sociology, and to a lesser extent, psychology, tells us a great deal about group dynamics and narratives, giving the Special Operations Forces practitioner tools and frameworks useful for analyzing and developing persuasive messages. One such framework, the process of vertical integration, is a good model for thinking about how resistance movements can make master narratives relevant for local populations. Vertical integration describes how resistance movements craft persuasive messages by connecting local and personal narratives with the master narratives of the targeted society. Likewise, in social movement theory, researchers use the concept of framing to explain how social movements are able to successfully mobilize their audiences. Successful groups use a wide array of framing tools that distill complex information about the world into actionable components. The trio of collective action frames, the diagnostic, prognostic, and motivational frames, together help persuade an audience that there is a problem, a solution to the problem, and a need to do something about it. Another body of research in this field focuses on narratives through the lens of the myth-symbol complex. In this framework, scholars study how emotive symbols are used to consolidate group identity and promote collective action. All groups with cohesive identities develop myth-symbol complexes composed of myths, memories, values, and the like that together separate the group from others outside it. More specifically, each of these complexes contains a myth mature, a kernel that constitutes the core of group identity. Myth matures exert a powerful pull on the consciousness of their adherents. When group identity is threatened, these myth matures form potent tools to motivate extreme self-sacrifice for the good of the community, such as taking up arms, killing others, and risking death. In contrast to the group dynamics approach of the social sciences, neuroscientists, psychologists, and others look for the biological foundations of narratives at the level of individuals. This research, although limited, provides insights into the causal relationship between narratives and observable changes in human behavior. Much of this research benefits from experimental design lacking in other fields. From this research, scientists have identified some key elements of a persuasive narrative. This research has shown that invoking different systems of information processing, whether heuristic or systematic, can lead to more predictable outcomes. Developing the trust of an audience also increases susceptibility of the audience to the narrative and decreases the likelihood of a violent response. It is not surprising that another key element is the persuasive effectiveness of imagery. In part because they incur lower cognitive burdens, images produce more rapid, emotional reactions than textual and verbal stimuli alone. Likewise, responses to textual and verbal stimuli are liable to be more rational and conscious than responses to imagery. Narratives that detail struggles involving religious or ethnic identity are likely to invoke strong responses. Neuroscientific research explains the biology of these virulent reactions to threats to sacred values, which are sacrosanct beliefs that adherents would not be willing to compromise for reasons of utility, such as monetary gain. Research has shown that different parts of the brain are used to process issues of morality than for making cost-benefit evaluations. This presents difficulties in crafting narratives, because attempts to alter sacred values are usually met with strong fight-or-flight instincts, much as if the person had been physically threatened. Lastly, anyone who has lost track of his or her surroundings while deeply engrossed in a book or a movie has experienced the power of transportation. The term describes the immersive experience of being psychologically transported to the world of the narrative. In this state, the audience empathizes with the characters, constructing vivid imagery of the events and surroundings of the narrative while being blind to cues from the real world. The persuasive power of transportation lies in the emotive, not the cognitive centers. In other words, we are not transported because the story is true or rational, but rather because it is simply a good story. We are most likely to be transported by stories that have characters we can identify with, an imaginable plot, and a likeness to the world as we understand it. As this work has demonstrated, there is substantial research to guide the Special Operations Forces practitioner in countering and crafting persuasive narratives. Despite the promise of this research, no one as of yet has constructed a foolproof recipe for crafting persuasive narratives that will work for all people in all places. Indeed, scholars are divided on whether this is even possible. Some maintain that the only way to persuade and influence is through the application of deep knowledge of the local culture and people. In other words, all persuasive methods are specific to the individual or culture. Others, such as those conducting the research discussed in this work, believe that it is possible to build a good model as a starting point for strategic communication. However, it is clear that the communities studying narratives have much work to do before they will be able to identify which narratives and which components of those narratives are responsible for changes in behavior according to the expected outcomes.